Hey, thanks, Doug. And I should recognize my co-authors, who are Jack Meisinger and Doug Beagle, who's, by the way, if you haven't heard, Doug just became a grandpa. But so today I'm going to talk about the pros and the cons of injection with respect to the nitrogen balance. So we've been hearing a lot of the benefits, so quickly going through those, we can reduce nitrogen losses through ammonia volatilization, we can reduce odor emissions, we can decrease nutrient losses with runoff, that's particularly important for phosphorus, and we can get that injection while maintaining our crop residues or the plant cover in a pasture. So now when we look at the upside of the N balance, again, that's that reduced ammonia volatilization, and the N we can conserve in that way. That's important because, as I say, we're conserving plant available nitrogen. We're reducing the amount of nitrogen that can be then redeposited back onto land or water. And the, you know, the water is a key issue because that can be nitrogen that could contribute to eutrophication. And then we have a less of an impact on air quality by reducing the ammonia emissions. And here's some data just to highlight that from our work here in Pennsylvania, where we looked at comparing broadcast application to a shallow disk injector or incorporation with an aerator. And here our black bar is our broadcast. The blue bar is the shallow disk injection. And in all 4 years of the study, we got a 60% or greater reduction in ammonia emissions with the shallow disk injector compared to broadcast. Now, if you look over here at the green bar, which I'm sorry, the colors don't show up as well on that screen as this screen, but the green bar is our aerator, and as you can see, some years we got some reduction and some we didn't, so it's not as consistent a method to reduce ammonia emissions as that shallow disk injector. And here I've just got a summary of some of the literature values. And when we use knife or chisel injectors or disc injectors, we're typically getting 60% or more reductions in ammonia losses relative to injection. Aerators haven't been studied as much. We see more variability and typically less ammonia reduction. And when we compare what we're getting with the chisels or the disc injectors to tillage, we're comparable on the ability to reduce ammonia emissions, you know, with the injection versus a tillage incorporation. I tried to take a stab at putting dollar values on the ammonia that we're conserving. So I made some assumptions. One, that we're getting a 60% reduction in ammonia emissions with injection. Again, I think we can quite often do better. I was just trying to be on the conservative side there. I used 35% loss of ammonia manure, or of the manure ammonium N content with broadcasting. I used the typical N concentration for at least dairy manure here in Pennsylvania and fairly typical application rate, at least for dairy. And then, so that we calculated about 17 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare could be conserved with the 60% reduction in ammonia emissions. So, you know, hopefully we could do even better than that. And that worked out to about $19 per hectare if we were considering $1.10 per kilogram of N. Now, is there a dollar value that we could put on the additional benefit as far as air and water quality? I'm sure there is. I'm not sure how we would go about doing that, but that's probably something we could, you know, we need some, you know, discussion and further exploration on. Now, the downside of the balance, and we've heard about some of these issues for those of you who are in the morning sessions, but there is a greater potential for nitrogen leaching, mostly because we're conserving, if we're losing less ammonia, we're probably putting more in the soil. If the crop's not using it, we've got that potential for it to leach. So then we can lose, you know, plant available N, and we have to consider what that might do to the quality of our drinking water. And the other issue on the downside of the balance is that there's a potential for greater denitrification when we inject. mostly because those denitrifying, the anaerobic conditions are more likely to form when we're getting that under the ground. But also, if we're not losing the ammonia, we're keeping more nitrogen in the soil that can, you know, move down the nitrogen cycle. So again, that could be a pathway for losing plant available N. But probably more importantly, when we're talking about nitrous oxide, it's not so much the amount of nitrogen we'll lose, but a lot of that's going to come off as nitrous oxide, and that's a potent greenhouse gas. So there's certainly issues that still have to be addressed about how important that is and what costs we put on that. But it definitely can increase nitrous oxide emissions when we inject. Now here, first looking at some of the data on leaching. These are from those same studies that I showed the ammonia for, our work out in Pennsylvania. We reported it for either the cropping seasons or the overwinter fallow periods. Find my pointer here. So during the cropping seasons, with the exception of this year, we didn't see much during the season and not any differences between application methods. Now when we looked at our first overwinter period, we did see a substantially greater amount of nitrate coming through when we did a shallow disk injection compared to the others. Not sure if that is an overestimate because of some of the of our lysimeter setup, or if that's real, but there wasn't a greater increase that first year. But when we come over here to the second overwinter period and to the third overwinter period, we saw greater overall losses, but really no difference between the application methods. I'm now looking at some of the values that are in the literature. One, I should point out, there's very limited data on leaching with injection. It's just few studies have done that. Some data in the literature from Canada showed greater nitrate leaching at high manure rates when they put in on above the plant requirements. They did see some leaching, but at moderate and lower rates of manure application, they didn't see any impact on leaching. A couple studies showed no impact at all on leaching. And then to kind of throw another wrinkle in it, there is work out there that shows that with a tillage incorporation, you could be getting greater leaching. So it may be not so much an issue of injection versus tillage incorporation, but just the idea of incorporation at all, and we're holding in the soil greater potential for leaching. We should stress, though, you know, the risk on leaching is going to be pretty site specific, and it's going to be greatly increased if we have tile drainage or high water tables. Here, looking at denitrification N2O production potentials, a little schematic I have here to kind of demonstrate what's happening. We've got our well aerated soil. We put down a manure band. That leads to some accelerated microbial activity in the band. The oxygen becomes depleted. That forms the conditions that denitrification can occur, and we get nitrous oxide or N2 being released through the denitrification. So some reports on from the literature on nitrous oxide emissions. Again, very limited data. I was able to find three studies where they did a side-by-side injection versus broadcast and actually measured field denitrification, field nitrous oxide emissions. And those three reports gave a 15 to 300% range of increases. So we see that there's a lot of variability there. And probably a confounding thing there is that even within the same season and year to year, the emissions are going to be really dependent on soil moisture and the weather conditions. So even at the same site with the same application methods year to year, you might see, you know, vastly different nitrous oxide emissions depending on the conditions. And I also tried to take a stab at some costs with the nitrous oxide emissions. I didn't try to factor in the value that of the N that could be lost as N2, so that would be another factor that we'd have to think about. But I just kind of did a baseline estimate. I used the IPC coefficient. Debate over that, but it's probably a good way to get at a general average. I assume typical nitrogen concentrations and application rates and came up with a loss of about 3.5 kilograms of N2ON per hectare per year. And so using that same fertilizer value as I used earlier, be $3.85. And I'm assuming, you know, background level with the broadcast, we'd be losing about that. If we think about those values that I showed in the literature about how much we can expect an increase in N2O with injection, that would give us an additional of cost to the end we're losing of 60 cents all the way up to $11.50. So you can see big range there depending on what those emissions are. And also, is there an environmental cost to the N2O? I'm sure there is, but you know, what value do we put on that? That's very much debatable. One way, though, that we can indicate what this could be is to use the carbon market prices and the greenhouse gas offset prices. And assuming 320 CO2 equivalents for every N2O, and the current prices on the Chicago Climate Exchange, so those are the prices for the U.S., which are down at about 10 cents per metric ton of CO2, that's going to be a cost of about 5 cents per kilogram of N2ON. So not very high in the current U.S. scenario with our where we don't have any caps on greenhouse gas emissions. If we did have caps on emissions, we could maybe look to the Europeans to see, you know, how that might change things. And there, it's more like $22 per metric ton of CO2. And if I got all my conversions right, that would be about $11 per kilogram of N2ON. So depending on that, in regulatory scenario, you know, there could be a real big difference in what the impact of the cost of nitrous oxide emissions would be. Running short here. Just summarizing, you know, so we're going to see, hopefully with injection, a big drop in ammonia, subsequent increase in plant uptake, some increase in what we tie up as organic and in the soil, but we're going to get bigger losses of nitrous oxide. How much time have I got, Doug?
You're about out.
About out, okay. Well, let me jump through these, and these are basically rehashing, and I'll get down to my conclusion here. So our conclusion is that given what we know now, and in most situations, the reduction in ammonia emissions is probably going to outweigh the cost of a potential increase from leaching or denitrification. But if N2O regulations and greenhouse gas regulations go in, we've got to reevaluate that scenario. Thanks.